possible that in the past there may have been a time when you came upon your mother or your father and you didn't enter their room because it was night, but the door was cracked and you stopped and you heard him or her praying for you by name. This morning, we have the chance to hear Jesus praying for you and me. And it's a peculiar undertaking. What do we do with overhearing Jesus' prayer for the world and for particularly you and me as his disciples? Some of you are old enough to remember the days when we used to have at train crossings the sign, "Stop, look, and listen." They used to put it on cross signs. You don't see that much anymore. But today I want us to stop and reverse that order. I want us to listen to Jesus and look for ways the Spirit of God is already working in your life and in my life. Because if Jesus is praying for you and me, and he is, if Jesus is praying for the church, and these are the themes, some of the universal themes that Jesus has had for his people down through the centuries, Jesus still cares about these very things. And so I've highlighted on the sheet that you have in front of you there three particular prayers that I believe are special concerns of our Savior, and I want us to look at those briefly one at a time. First of all, Jesus prays for us to live in unity with one another. I look for all kinds of images and paintings and representations of unity, and I concluded this sculpture of these two people broken in humility before one another, just as we've sung this morning. This is for me a picture of unity. It is a picture of reconciliation. It can also be a picture of one person who recognized that she was hurt by the other, and she went to her husband and admitted her hurt and pain. And in humility, he recognized his wrong, and they asked, and he asked forgiveness of her. Most recently, I've had an experience with our session where different ones have expressed their frustration at the behavior of another, and there was a reconciliation. I've had session members who were moved in a particular way to share a particular struggle, and all the elders were engaged with one another in being concerned about that particular struggle. I believe there are all kinds of ways for you and me to experience unity. But it is critical for us to understand that our Savior is praying for you and me and the church to live in unity with one another. And so what we're doing here is we're stopping and we're listening to Jesus' prayer. Now it is imperative that you and I look for ways that we might step into unity with one another. Sometimes there are people within our congregation that we may be out of step with. Sometimes there may be people that we know who are a brother and sister in Christ, and we don't particularly like them. But there's an opportunity for us to cross the street and maybe go and stand on a front porch and maybe take a pitcher of lemonade and say, "You know, we haven't done this in a long time. How are you doing? Can we just sit here and talk for a little bit and drink some lemonade?" Jesus is praying for our unity. This is a prayer that emphasizes our unity in Christ. And in recent weeks, we've highlighted the fact that Jesus teaches us to love one another as I have loved you. This is the follow-up to those teachings. And here is his prayer. He prays for us to live in unity with one another. May God so work in you and me that you and I are receptive, looking for ways that we have the opportunity to be in unity with our spiritual family. I'm so into this message, I simply forgot that I have to punch the button to the next one. Jeff, can you move it? Thank you. He also prays for believers to live in him so that the world may believe God sent him. You can see the scriptural reference there on your page, and you may want to argue with me a little bit, but that's what I got. That's my interpretation from those verses. Sometimes the Gospel of John seems very complicated, and one has to go very slowly to sort of pull something out and say, what does this mean? This is what I think it means. I believe in the second place, Jesus is not only praying for unity, he's praying for believers to live in him so that the world may believe God sent him. Now, I believe there are all kinds of ways for us to live in Christ. The Apostle Paul, if you study his epistles, he seems to be the one that might have preceded John in identifying this phrase. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, if anyone is in Christ, there's a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. And John seems to appreciate this idea of being in Christ. And it's never quite explained by the apostles. Jesus never said, here's what I mean by this. But it would seem that if we're in Christ, if we're in a relationship with him, we are engaging in responding to his grace and living out the good news that he has given us, that we appreciate of his mercy and forgiveness. And whatever discipline, whatever spiritual discipline you follow, that is a way for you and me to live in Christ. And so for us to be people of prayer, just as we prayed this morning, we are putting ourselves in Christ. And I think when we do that, we live in him so that the world may believe God sent him. I think when you and I as a congregation are at prayer, there is an opportunity for us somehow to be people of faith, and that faith and spirit affects us. And we go from this place being aware of all the ways that different ones among us today are praising God and thanking God. As well, we're aware of all the ways that there is a need in people's lives. And we are remembering these young people who need the guidance of the Holy Spirit, just as we've said. We're aware of these people in Virginia Beach, but not just Virginia Beach. Campus of the University of North Carolina at Charlotte, Florida, Las Vegas, Connecticut, places around the country where people have been affected by gun violence. He prays for believers to live in him so that the world may believe God sent him. Another way that we live in Christ is by being engaged in ministry to those who need what we have to give. As you know, the ministries that our outreach team is encouraging now, Operation Sandwich, a number of you I saw around the table in the kitchen working on making some sandwiches, and those sandwiches became a blessing to people who are on the streets who don't have those. And so they were passed out, I think, by Urban Ministry. Is that right? As well, the ministry that Terry Karam is living out of and following. And you are participating with her in this summer reading program. We've seen a picture of Ina sharing that with the children. And there will be different ones of you this summer who will be going to children who often are deprived of the kind of books that we have in our homes and in the homes of our children and grandchildren. And I believe when we put ourselves in those places of ministry, we are living in Christ, because that's what he would be doing. Christ is doing that through you and me. We are his hands and feet and heart and minds and eyes extended in the world. And so Jesus prays for believers to live in him, to be engaged in things that he would be doing, whether we're in prayer or whether we're in ministry. The fact that you are in worship now, you are in Christ. It seems to me the whole business of worship is a discipline that, look at all these empty seats. There are a lot of people in our neighborhoods who are not choosing to apply this discipline in their lives. And I'm grateful that you've chosen to number yourself among worshiping Christians on this Sunday morning. The whole ministry of giving to the ministry and work of this congregation is yet another discipline that is vital. And when we do that, we are living in Christ so that the world may believe that God sent Jesus to make a difference in this world. The next slide. And then finally, as you see on that page, Jesus prays for believers to be with him so that they may see his glory, which God gave Jesus before the world began. This is not a fire over on the right side. Actually, it's a view of the heavens with clouds. When I think of the glory of God, I often think of that. But I also think of this this little person right here. And you can't read the subscript. It says, which step have you experienced? Right here at the bottom is, I won't do it. But notice something is percolating. I can't do it is the next one. I want to do it. What could this mean? Could this be giving to the church? Could this be participating with a Tuesday afternoon reading ministry with Terry Karam? Could it be an ongoing Operation Sandwich? Some elders have suggested we start doing that every month to support urban ministry. It could be there's some ministry in your life, even apart from this church, that you know may seem impossible for you, but somehow there's something in you urging you to engage in something greater than yourself. I believe that's the glory of God. I believe that's the Spirit of Christ working you, saying, don't let your faith just be words. Just Sunday morning, as great as this is, God intends to work in you and me and push us to ask, how do I do it? I want to do it. How do I do it? Okay, I'll try to do it. I can do it. Do you see the journey that this little person is making up the steps? I will do it. When we, by the grace of God, do something we know in our hearts is right and true, then we can say to the glory of God, yes, I did it. Now, where is God in all that? He prays for believers to be with him so that they may see his glory, which God gave Jesus before the world began. Centuries ago, there was a monk by the name of Brother Lawrence who had no particular gift. And he wrote a little book that has become a spiritual classic through the ages. It's called Practicing the Presence of Jesus. And he has a line in there, Lord of all the pots and pans, be with me today in my ministry. His ministry in the monastery was to wash the pots and pans. Brother Lawrence, seemingly someone whose main gift was washing dishes. And yet he became aware that in that place is Jesus Christ. And he has offered to the church and to the world an awareness that as we seek to honor God wherever we are and whatever we're doing, we may see the glory of God that Jesus gave before the world began. And Jesus is praying for us to be in unity, for us to experience what it means to be in Christ, and finally, what it means for us to see the very glory of God. I believe Jesus prays that you and I go from this place stopping and listening and now beginning to look for unity, for ways that we can be in him, and ways that we can see the glory of God. That's what this high priestly prayer offers to me. I give you this worksheet to take it home and read over this passage, John 17, verses 20 to 26, to begin to look in your life to see the ways that the Spirit of Jesus Christ is at work in you and me. Amen. Let us pray.